Well, today, we need to set the platform and the stage for what I believe God wants to share with us. Exodus chapter 14 is about the crossing of the Red Sea. And we're going to look today a little bit at the children of Israel and their experience and what they went through. But before we do that, let's just take in consideration of what God had already done for the children of Israel up until this time. Now, finally, Pharaoh gave in to the heeding of Moses and God to get the children out of Egypt. And the interesting the part of that is that God delivered with the mighty hand while they were in Egypt still. God sent a death angel through, didn't he? And to each of the male children that firstborn of the family who did not have the blood upon the doorposts, that child died, didn't he? Well, finally, Pharaoh sends the children of Israel out. And not only did Pharaoh send the children of Israel out, on the way out, you know the story, is that those Egyptians gave them some wares, some gold and silver, and gave them some stock that they may survive in the wilderness. And we know that it was planned that God would erect a temple in the wilderness. Well, you would think everything's done now. Well, you know, the children of Israel were ingrained so much in Egyptian theology that for 400 years it only makes sense that they would forget about the true God of heaven, wouldn't they? In fact, when Moses was called upon from the burning bush to go and speak to the children of Israel, Moses said, well, who am I going to say sent me? For when I get there, they're not even going to know you. And God told Moses, he said, tell them that I am sent you. So Moses goes back, and through the mighty hand of God and Moses, God brought about different plagues and so forth, which plagued Egypt, and God utilized those plagues to show a difference between the children of Israel and those that lived in the kingdom of Egypt. Well, the children of Israel are now out of Egypt, and let's start with verses 1 through 3. Now, we got to remember and look at the story today and recognize that God is the one who's directing and leading them the entire path here. Notice what happens in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pharaoh, Megiddo, and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. God directed them to go into a certain place in the wilderness just before the Red Sea. Now, there's three mountains surrounding them, and now the Red Sea. It's like they are pushed into a cul-de-sac, and God had directed their path. And for this purpose, God said, Pharaoh will still harden his heart, and he will say they are entangled in the land and the wilderness, and they are shut in. I find this very interesting and very amazing. The children of Israel had nowhere to go, no place to return. The only place they could do, only thing that they could do was look up. They had no hope. The seas before him, three mountains beside them. And what's amazing in this story, what did David say in the psalm? He said, I look unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from who? The Lord. Well, as we know in the rest of the story, is that Pharaoh did truly harden his heart. And you see in verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. But I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Now, notice in verse 6 and 7. And Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains of every one of them. In other words, he took 600 of the finest chariot riders along with him. But then he chose the rest of his army. Thousands and thousands of army soldiers come to encamp to go back because Pharaoh said, what did we do? What are we crazy? We let these slaves go. Bring them back. Pharaoh marches out after them. Now here's where the interesting dilemma is that the children of Israel are stuck. They're trapped in a place. They're trapped in a cul-de-sac. They can't go anywhere. They're bottlenecked in. There's nowhere to go. This is the same dilemma we're in. The spiritual warfare that we're in. God is guiding and leading in our lives, but yet Satan is in behind us, ready to pounce on us, ready to take us. Enslaved for 400 years, God delivers them with a mighty hand, 400 years in slavery. And it seems like the victory is done. How many of us experience that in our Christian experience somewhere along life's path? We say, you know, I've become a Christian, now life's going to be, you know, a trail of roses wherever I go. It's just the opposite, isn't it? When we were in sin, when we were in the world, it was so much easier. Our friends asked us to go out and party with them, no problem. You know, I didn't have a guilty conscience telling me I shouldn't do it. When I didn't want to go to church, it was no big deal because I didn't have a conscience telling me. But all of a sudden, I accepted Christ into my life. And all of a sudden, my conscience inside of me revived and God's Spirit is now leading. And now there is a great war. Romans chapter 7, that what I want to do, I don't do, and I end up doing, and that what I want to do, I don't, and I end up, you know, so on and so forth. But here now the children of Israel are encamped. And Pharaoh takes the 600 chosen chariots, and the Egyptian and the captains over one of them. In verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them, encamping them by the sea. Now, Pharaoh and his army come up to these mountains. They encamp by the sea. They know the children of Israel are they're in this cul-de-sac. There's nowhere for them to go. And notice verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were what? What were they? They were sore afraid. I mean, they were so afraid, their knees were clacking one to another. Amen? They were afraid. They were fearful for their lives. And notice what happens here. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel did what? They cried unto who? The Lord. Now, this is what's interesting. God is the one who brought them into this place. God had a purpose for bringing them. One was that His glory would be revealed in Pharaoh. The other was to deliver the children of Israel so that He would be glorified among His children. Amen? But it's interesting to note here that when God brings us into challenging circumstances, trials in our lives, it will do two things. It will either, one, draw us to pray and ask for God for help, or number two, to complain and wonder why God is doing this to us. Notice what happens in the next verse, in verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you brought us to take us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore didn't we tell you? All right? Hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12, is this not what the word that we told you? Leave us in Egypt? Leave us alone? Isn't that the way sin is? It's easier to stick around and humble ourselves, so to speak, in sin and enjoy the pleasures of. But the moment that we accept Christ, all of a sudden God leads us and He guides us and He directs us and we come across places that we wish we never attempted or we wish we had never seen in our lives. It's going to do two things when we come into those areas. Either we're going to pray and ask God for help to strengthen us to overcome, or we're going to complain and wonder why God is allowing this to happen to me. Right? Did two things. Some prayed to God, others began to complain to Moses. Two things. God's divine purpose and plan when He brings us into places that we don't seem comfortable. Now let's read on here. They looked up to the hills. And you got to imagine this now. Have you ever watched those old Indian stories, you know, and cowboys and Indians, there's always the Lone Ranger, you know. He's stuck down somewhere in a valley somewhere, and all of a sudden all these Indians encamp around him on the hillside, and he looks up and he turns 360 degrees, and there ain't no way out. And he has one six-shooter, and it's only loaded with six bullets. Somehow he gets 290 rounds out of it. Don't know how he does it, but he does. But he wheels his way out of there. You kind of get the picture here. The children of Israel, 1 to 100. There ain't no way out. How are we going to get out of this? No sword, no nothing. And notice what happens here. So powerful. Here the children of Israel complaining. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? It's amazing. Some had remembered the promise, or had received or seen the miracles that God did while they were in Egypt. Some looked at those plagues as plagues, and some looked at them as miracles from God. And those people that looked at those plagues as miracles from God are the ones that are praying now, God will help us. Seeking God. But the ones that saw them in a plague are saying, why, God, are you allowing this to happen to us? They would rather be in Egypt and enslaved in Egypt rather than die for the cause of God. I wonder if any of us are like that today. I wonder if any of us would rather be enslaved in Egypt, rather be slaved in the world, than to suffer any pain or suffering for Christ. Well, notice what happens in the rest of the story here. Moses comforts their hardened heart. And Moses said unto the people, verse 3. Now, I want you to underscore this. Number 1, he says what? Fear not. Number 2, he says, stand still. Isn't that amazing? There's 10,000, 20,000, 150,000, a million maybe soldiers lined up around the mountaintops. And Moses says, fear not, don't be afraid. Man, looking at that leader, I'd say, you got to be nuts. You have lost your mind. Here we are, all our little children, all of our little possessions that we have, nothing. We have the ocean before us. We have the mountains behind us. There's nowhere to go. And you say, don't be afraid? You got to be crazy. Then the second thing he asked them, he said, be still. Now, let's get what Moses is asking of them. He says to fear not. We know that God is asking them to not to be afraid. Do you realize over 150 times throughout Scripture, God says, fear thou not? When your enemies encompass you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God says, don't be afraid. In fact, one of my favorite Bible texts, Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, he says. God is asking the children of Israel not to be afraid. In fact, in Joshua 1:9, when God called Joshua to lead the children to take the promised land after all these 80 years or however long they're out in the wilderness, 40 years, after they're out in the wilderness, God commands Joshua, he says, I command you this day, don't be afraid. Jeremiah 1:5, don't be afraid of their faith. It's a command from God not to let fear enter the heart. Now notice what else God asks of him, asks the children of Israel. Stand still. Quiet yourself. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 39 to give you this example of what God was asking of the children of Israel when they were so encompassed about what the great adversary. When fear was striking their hearts so that they were about ready to die, God says to them, be still. Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Let's look at verse 38. You know this story, right? The children, the disciples are crossing the sea with Christ. And there's a great storm hits upon them while they're crossing in the middle of the night. Jesus is asleep in the center of the boat. In verse 38 it says, he was the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? Sounds a lot like the children of Israel. Don't you care that we're about ready to die here? I mean, it's common sense. Here we are dealing and struggling with sin in our personal lives, and we wonder, have you ever had those prayers where you pray and you pray, and it just doesn't seem like God is answering? He doesn't care. Sounds like he's not listening. He's not paying attention. He's not, you know, he's just not aware of your circumstance. You ever felt that way before? Where is God? Doesn't he care about the struggle that I'm in? Doesn't he care about this experience that I'm having right now? Doesn't he care? And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray to no avail. Notice what's happening here. But in verse 39, it's like God's sleeping, right? This is, Jesus is asleep. The one that can help him out, Jesus is asleep. Notice what happens in verse 39. Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, shh, be still. When you look at the Greek format, basically Jesus said, shh, be quiet. God says, peace, be still. And right then, the storm ceased. There was a great calm. That calm, that quietness, and the boisterous noise of the storm that ceased is what God is asking the children of Israel to experience, to be calm, to sit down and relax. And I imagine that they're looking up at the host of the Egyptians, and they're looking at this 360-degree angle, and then God is asking them not to be afraid, but to be still, be quiet, relax. I realize that in our day and age, it's very easy to get caught up in gimmicks. It's funny to, I like those infomercials. They crack me up, you know. It's like this ab thing, you know. And you do this, you know, this guy's got a belly sticking out 100 miles out there. You know, you do this for 10 days for the next month, you know. And, man, you're going to have a stomach rock, it's like rock, you know. We want everything easy. We want everything simple. And sometimes we go about trying to find gimmicks to help us out, and we don't allow God to work in our lives. Notice what happens in verse 13 of chapter 14 of Exodus. Go back to Exodus with me. Moses tells the children of Israel, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of what? The Lord. You know, there's all these gimmicks to help us out, all these things to help us out, and we don't want to do anything the hard way. We want things easy. We want things simple. God asks us to be still, don't be afraid, so that we can see the salvation of God. You know, we try all these different things to help us out, to remedy our problem, to remedy our sin, but we don't allow God to work or intervene in our lives. So the children of Israel, encompassed about with this great army, Moses says to them, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, what? No more, forever, right? God's going to bring about a great deliverance. How many of us are struggling with sin in our lives? How many of us have sins in our lives or some type of struggle that we've been struggling with since our birth? How many of us have been dealing with some type of sin since day one, and we wonder, will God ever give me deliverance? What I'm discovering here today, and what I'm discovering in this lesson here, is that God wants to give us that victory right now. Amen? God wants us to have the victory right now, this very present moment. He wants us to have it just right now. But we need to stand still, and we need to remove the fear away from us. Verse 14, it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. What a wonderful promise. God will fight for you. In other words, the battle belongs to who? Battle belongs to the Lord, amen? Whatever sin it is that's debilitating in your life, God wants to take that away from you. Maybe, just maybe, you've been trying yourself. Just maybe you have been trying to overcome that particular behavior all by yourself instead of giving it to God. One thing I've discovered in my life, personally, is that when dealing with sin, that things that are common in your life that just don't seem to go away, first thing that I have learned is to give it to God and leave it at that. I'm not going to go back and keep repeating the same prayer. Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away, take it away, take it away. We get that example in the scripture where Jesus says, don't you know about that lady who goes to the judge and bugs her every single day? I tell you, that woman will get what she wants because she bugged that judge every single day. Don't you know if you go and ask the Lord the same? We get this concept in our mind that if we go and bug God every single day, he's going to take it away. Now, I've learned that when we begin to focus on that problem, we take it to God every single day in that type of manner, that it's easy to fall back into that same temptation because we're always focusing on it. Instead, why don't you go and give it to God, surrender it, lay it at the altar, and turn your back on it and say, you know what, God, it's your problem now. You deal with it. You fight. You take it away. If you want me to have victory, it's your problem. The moment that we allow God to intervene and work, trust me, victories come. Now I'm going to give you another challenge. The moment that victory comes for an hour, or 2 days, or 24 hours, whatever, start praising God. The moment you start praising God, you automatically give God the glory, and you're saying, God, it's you that's giving me the victory, not myself. You see, the temptation is, and God knows, is that when we accomplish or receive the victory that we've so much asked for, the temptation is, man, I finally made it, I did it. What are we doing? Giving glory to self. Now, God is doing the same with the children of Israel. He takes them into a place of impossibility. The only way they can go is up. They can't get their feet in. They can't go across the sea. They can't go back. They can't climb over the mountain. They're stuck in this cul-de-sac. The only way they can go is up. And friends, many times that's the only solution to the problem in our lives. God allows circumstances to come into our life so that we will either pray and ask for His help, bring us to our knees to say, God, I need your help. Or we're going to complain and argue and say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Now, God says in verse 14, Moses said, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. In other words, you're not going to have to worry about this because God's going to deal with it. Amen? We don't have to worry about this problem or the sin because God is going to deal with it. Now, let's look at verse 15 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they do what? What do they do? Go forward. Isn't this amazing? Here they are encamped about with thousands of soldiers about ready to take their lives and drive them back to Egypt. And God asks them of three things. One, don't be afraid. Number two, be still. And number three, out of all things, go forward. Go where? Start walking in the sea. You have got to be nuts. It truly was better for us to die in Egypt than to die out here in this great sea. Three things. Don't be afraid. Be still. Remain calm. And then finally, start going forward. You realize these are the antidotes for our deliverance, for victory today? Number one, don't be afraid of the challenge that God brings our way. Number two, be still and trust that God will deliver us. Number three, go forward and recognize that God is giving you victory. Right? There's no reason why we should settle for less other than victory in our lives. There's no reason why, because God is on our side. And friends, we are the same as the church. God wants to bring His church through a mighty work. But many of us hinder because we believe that God is not able to do like He used to. Back in the 1840s, God had a message for the church, and the church went forward. But man, 100, 200 years have gone by, and the message is gone. Who needs it anymore? Friends, that same message is present for our world today. Amen? And with that word and that message being present today, God's church can still go forward. We forgot about the miracles and how God worked in the past, and so we forget that God can work miracles today. But if we look at the past of how God led His church, He led His people, He guided in your life, He directed your life, friends, God can do the same today as He did yesterday. Amen? And friends, if God can deliver the children of Israel, He can deliver us. Right? We must be overcomers in this world. And friends, if we don't see victories in our lives, it's because we do not have a one-on-one relationship with God. God will and wants to give you victory. And the children of Israel had a struggle with this. Will God deliver us? God says, go forward. We're to take Him at His word and to move forward. If God says, I have the victory, then I have it. Not in a pompous, proud way, but because God says it, I can trust it. Now, follow along here. Notice what else happens here. In verse 19, while the Lord was making way with the children of Israel to go forward, and Moses is encouraging them, verse 19, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And, all right, two things here. The angel that was guiding went behind them, and a pillar of the cloud went from before the face and stood behind them. Now let me ask you this question. When we look through the New Testament, who's going to be coming in the clouds of heaven? Jesus is, right? Jesus is in the cloud, my friends. Jesus is in the cloud. He moves behind them. And notice what happens in verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all the night. Here's something we must recognize. When we are in a strait, when we are tempted, when we are struggling with sin, Jesus is by our side. Amen? Christ is by us. God is near us. He understands what we are going through. He understands our experience. He understands our circumstance. When we are tried, Jesus understands. Amen? Now, follow along here. Verse 21. Now we know the rest of the story. When the children of Israel began to move forward, Moses rose his rod in the sky, his hand up, and the waters parted, didn't they? Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, verse 21, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east what? The Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament is identified as what? The wind, isn't it? This is something I want you to recognize here. You see this present throughout Scripture. John, Revelation chapter 1, you see this experience. God gave to Jesus. Jesus gave to his angel gave to John the Revelator. What you see is God the Father. God, Jesus, the Spirit, and then the angel. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and his angels are present with his followers. You see what I'm saying here? First of all, we see an angel went behind. Then we see the cloud go behind. And then a wind came. Moses cries to God. God does the work. Friends, when we are entangled or we are struggling, God knows. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God's holy angels are present with us when we are dealing with sin and temptation in our lives. What do you say? In other words, God wants to help us when we need it. Did the children of Israel need help at this time? Sure they did. The impossibility was all around them. There was no way out of this one. When all things seem impossible, with God, what? All things are possible. And friends, God wants to part the Red Sea before your face. You know, sometimes the solution is right before us and we don't even know it. We just need to act on it. We need to move forward in faith. Now, verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were what? They were divided. Sometimes, friends, the answer is God. Instead of trying to overcome yourself, instead of looking for victory by yourself, try looking up. I want to read from you Matthew's commentary. I thought this was very enlightening. Regarding his comments on 10 through 14, it says, "There was no way open to Israel but upward. And thence their deliverance came. We may be in the way of duty, following God and hastening toward heaven, yet may be troubled on every side. Some cried out unto the Lord. Their fear led them to pray, and that was well. God brings us into straits that he may bring us to our knees. Others cried out against Moses. Fear set them murmuring as if God were not still able to work miracles. They quarrel with Moses for bringing them out of Egypt, and so were angry with God for the greatest kindness ever done them. Thus gross are the absurdities of unbelief. Moses says, fear ye not. It is always our duty and interests when we cannot get out of troubles, yet to get above our fears. Let them quicken our prayers and endeavors, but not silence our faith and hope. Stand still. Think not to save yourselves either by fighting or flying. Wait God's orders and observe them. Compose yourself by confidence in God into peaceful thoughts of the great salvation God is about to work for you. If God brings his people into straits, he will find a way to bring them out. The only place or where the children of Israel could look was up. Maybe we're beat up by obstacles, or maybe obstacles are in our way. Whatever the case, maybe we are surrounded by a host of the evil forces around our lives and wonder if there's any way out, have you looked up? Have you sought God? Maybe you've tried in the past with gimmicks or easy ways, hoping for an easy way out, and there isn't. And God is saying, go forward, go forward. Friends, when we begin to go forward on behalf of God's calling, the sea will part, and God will lead you into paths of victory. Now, the rest of the story is that the children of Israel made it out through dry land all night long, got to the other side. The cloud removed, the fire removed, and the Egyptians ran to go attack. And the moment they got on the dry land between the parted sea, the Bible says that God removed their wheels from them, their chariots, began to crash, and they said, flee the other way because God is fighting for them. The moment they recognized that God was fighting for them, the waters came crashing down and delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the enemy forever. When God works on our behalf, it's forever, my friends. When God delivers us, it's forever. Let me appeal to your hearts today to allow God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit and His angels to aid you in the victory that you are seeking, whatever it is, the comfort, the aid, whatever it is. Let God take away your fear. Let God take away your anxiety. Let God take away your care. Let God fight for you today. Whatever that challenge that may be in your life, I'm appealing to your heart to leave it here today at the altar of the feet of Jesus. Be not afraid. Be still and go forward. That's our message today. Will we as an individual today let God have our fears? Will we let God put peace in us? Will we go forward? Will we as a church today let fear go away from our congregation or our midst? Will we have peace and trust in God? Will we go forward? Allow God to work individually in your life so that victory can be honored to Christ and so that Christ can be honored and so that through honoring Christ, other souls will be won to the kingdom and so that joy will be restored to your heart and to your life. God delivered the children of Israel, and He routed a great miracle by parting the Red Sea. And so today, God can route a great miracle and part the Red Sea for your life today. Question is, will you let Him? Question is, will you let Him?